Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, August 30th, 2016. On ProWrestling.net today, my full review of WWE Raw, Will Pruitt's pause review of WWE Raw, and some news coming out of Ring of Honor that we'll be discussing about their new championships that they're introducing. Obviously, though, the big topic of the day is that Kevin Owens captured the WWE Universal Championship on Monday's Raw. I'll end up covering a little bit of the same ground in today's Raw hit list, but I do want to examine some of the potential fallout from a storyline standpoint, because I think there's a lot of it. First thing that comes to mind is, where does Triple H stand now? His wife looked shocked to see him, is the way she portrayed that on Raw. It could be a swerve, but they could be going in a different direction. You know, is he bitter about not being named the general manager by her? Is he a heel? I don't even know that. He caused Roman Reigns to be eliminated from the match. He technically helped. I look at that as payback for Roman beating him at WrestleMania. They've had issues, whatever. But in a way, it's actually a babyface move to most of the fan base. And then you also look at Hunter turning on Seth Rollins and helping Kevin Owens win. It's also a very popular move with some, only because Seth had kind of become repetitive as a heel. And, you know, of course, they could end up making Hunter a heel in all of this and use this to turn Seth, because, I've been saying he should have returned as a babyface. There's Will Pruitt is someone who disagrees. I think he still does. I know initially he liked the idea that he came back as a heel. And so, there's going to be different viewpoints on this, but I feel strongly that he had the injury momentum, the injury return, I should say, momentum behind him. And it just seemed like Vince McMahon was still hell-bent on making Roman Reigns his top babyface. And so they went with Seth as the heel. And I'm wondering if they've figured out now that the heel Rollins act has become repetitive. And we do know that they wanted to go with Triple H and Seth Rollins at WrestleMania last year before injuries derailed those plans. So that may be the direction they're heading in this time. The other thing, what about, people have asked, what about the possibility of Triple H leading some sort of NXT uprising? And I've said, I'm not crazy about the idea of some massive NXT revolution, and I kind of get into that in the Raw hit list too, but I'm more open to the idea of Hunter kind of picking four or five guys with NXT history to form some sort of a new heel faction. Owens obviously is the leader. And then you have, like, maybe a disgruntled Cesaro, who was once again pointing out that he was left out of the title situation. On the Raw pre-show, he talked about that. But, I think then you need to start calling people up. Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode would be candidates, I guess, even though Roode is so new there. You can just kind of pick people who you want from NXT. But the issue, the reason you would have to, I think, is because there are not many obvious candidates on the Raw roster for something like this. I think Neville would be a fine heel, better than people think, but I don't know that he would necessarily, just as a faction, I'm not really seeing it. I don't think this is happening. I could obviously be wrong, but I don't think this is happening. They could make this about Hunter being the guy who assembled the roster, built NXT and isn't getting the credit, and so he's bitter. And so, even then, if it's just kind of a bitter Hunter, you don't necessarily have to make it about NXT. You could even add some guys who have no NXT experience to it, like Gallows and Anderson, something like that, if they want to make this about. You can incorporate the fact that Hunter has connections to some of the guys from NXT or something like that. But keep in mind, he signed Anderson and Gallows, that sort of a thing they can bring up too. Now, the great thing about Kevin Owens as champion is that I think his fans are going to be nervous when he defends that championship. The fans who view him as a villain, as the heel, I think are going to see him as vulnerable. I like the way he won the championship. I like the manner in which he won it. You can say that this was all about Triple H beating up everyone, but I think it helps that the really sleazy Kevin Owens character backed into winning the championship. It makes him look weaker than it would have if, say, he had actually legitimately won the championship by pinning Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins there at the end. This is perfect for Kevin Owens. I'm very curious to see where Chris Jericho fits in now that his new friend won the championship, and we'll see if that friendship lasts. I think Jericho's clicking more as a heel than he did as a babyface, so I think he remains in that role. He just looks like he's just doing a hell of a job right now as a heel. But I think the jealousy, the petty jealousy of Chris Jericho's character as he tries to maintain this friendship with Kevin Owens could be a lot of fun to watch. The other thing that kind of jumped out at me, and there's, I mean, we could keep going on with this, but I would say that a big one is, what does Sami Zayn do now to get another match with Kevin Owens? Keep in mind that Sami beat Kevin Owens in their final match. And, I mean, that's how it was billed. I hope they have Kevin Owens hide behind the fact that it was billed as their final match. I want him to try to avoid facing his longtime nemesis, and I really hope they have some fun with that. I want to see Sammy's character kind of be forced to jump through some hoops or even win that Royal Rumble. I mean, if they want to go all the way with Kevin Owens as the Universal Champion into WrestleMania, and they don't know if Finn Balor is going to be ready, and there's no real connection as far as WWE main roster, obviously, between Kevin Owens and Finn Balor. So, I mean, there's still a chance that with Seth that he regains the championship as a heel, if that's something they're looking at as Rollins and Balor long term. But if they were to go just with Kevin Owens as champion, I think that's a fun storyline, is that Sami Zayn has to win the Royal Rumble because Mick Foley can just act like his hands are tied. I mean, the alternative is that Mick Foley can just overrule, you know, just they can approach this any way they want to. I mean, he can hide behind the fact that, hey, this was billed as the final match, there's nothing I can do, or, well, I have the power to change that. And so we're going to go with this match at the next pay-per-view. I hope they don't go to it too soon. I think there's a fun story to tell there. So basically, I really see a number of intriguing possibilities, and I really don't feel strongly about any one of the directions going into this. And, you know, I mean, as much as it's fun to be right in predictions and things like that, I really love it when wrestling is unpredictable for the right reasons. I don't like swerves for the sake of swerves or anything like that. But something like this, it's fun. You don't know exactly where this is going. You don't know exactly why Triple H did what he did. He may have a good theory, but you don't know that you're right about it. And, you know, I'm sure we're going to get some answers on Monday's Labor Day edition of Raw, and we'll be talking a lot about it here in the days ahead. By the way, join Jake Barnett for live coverage of WWE SmackDown Live tonight. They're going to have Daniel Bryan address The Miz following their big confrontation on Talking Smack that airs on the network after Raw. So I think it's going to be an interesting show. I believe John Cena is, I don't think they've officially advertised him for TV, but I know he was at the house show last night. He is advertised as far as the live events page and things like that. So I would think John Cena is going to be on that show. So it should be an interesting one. Ring of Honor announced that they will be introducing 6-man tag titles. They're going to have an 8-man tournament that begins late next month in September and concludes at some point in October. .NET members actually received the early word of this. I mentioned that it would be 6-man titles and just kind of snuck it in last night's WWE Raw audio review. And, you know, the thing with this, let's hope that these titles are more about doing something with the international talent that they have access to with New Japan and CMLL relationships than it is about putting the titles on the Cabinet faction. I mean, I'd say that, and I actually like Kenny King, Rhett Titus, and Caprice Coleman as far as them being just talented individuals. This whole, like, mock political, make wrestling great again theme just isn't doing anything for me. And, you know, the live crowd's reaction to this just tells me I'm not alone. Maybe it'll start to click, but there's not many, you know, 6-man type tag teams or units, I should say, in Ring of Honor right now. Although they did have the Cabinet face Dalton Castle and the boys on this week's show, so they could have a little bit of fun with Dalton and the boys, of course. In other Ring of Honor news, .NET members were actually told last week, on Friday, actually, in the .NET Weekly audio show, that Truth Martini was informed recently that the company does not plan to book him, and at least for the foreseeable future. As I mentioned at the time, it was kind of described as being a bit of an ugly situation behind the scenes, and you know, nothing lasts forever. We'll see what happens here. I'll just say two sides to every story, and we'll kind of let this whole situation play out. He was scheduled to return at the Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view in Las Vegas before all this went down, you know, you really have to wonder, I guess, now knowing that whether, I guess, the main event of that show would have played out differently, because Truth is the manager for Jay Lethal. And if he had returned on that show as scheduled, you got to wonder, would he have turned on Jay Lethal and to side with Adam Cole or something like that now that Jay Lethal is a babyface? And instead, we ended up getting a clean pinfall, which I applaud. You know, so it worked out in that regard. But We'll see if anything, what happens with the Truth Martini situation, but that is why he did not return at that pay-per-view, as we had actually discussed previously, too, that everything sounded like he would be back on that show. Let's get into the WWE Raw hit list. I'll have some bonus thoughts on Raw coming up after this, including a fun idea that I wish they could do for Kevin Owens. But as far as the hit list is concerned, it is the same version that I have in print form on ProWrestling.net. I read it to you guys most Tuesdays, with the idea being that not everybody's got time for a longer form article. A little bit easier for some of you just to get your fix in audio form. But if you've already read it, you're certainly welcome to skip ahead and get those Raw bonus thoughts. We're going to start with the WWE Raw hits. I went with Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Big Cass in the four-way, and it was a terrific four-way match with good action and plenty of drama. And the payoff of Kevin Owens winning the championship was excellent. It was the right move for WWE to make, in that it gives them someone fresh and seemingly vulnerable on top heading into Monday Night Football season. WWE wanted to send a message of change by having Finn Balor and Sasha Banks win the top championships of their respective divisions, and they were dealt a tough hand when both wrestlers went down with injuries. As much as it felt like Owens was the right choice going into this match, I still couldn't shake the belief that WWE would go with one of the usual suspects in Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns. Instead, they doubled down on the change vibe by going with Kevin Owens. It was a good move for the company and a great moment for Owens and his longtime fans. The next hit is Triple H. As much as I fear that Raw is going to be dominated by whatever the story is between Hunter and Stephanie, Hunter's surprise return at the end of the show was completely unexpected and creates some very interesting storyline possibilities. Hunter attacking Reigns was a receipt for WrestleMania, but why did he take out Rollins and essentially hand the title to Kevin Owens? Is Seth turning babyface? Is Hunter going to be a babyface in a feud with his heel wife? Readers have asked if there's a chance of Hunter leading an NXT invasion. I hope not. I wouldn't mind Hunter leading a small group of former NXT wrestlers, but I have no desire to see a roster-splitting faction war, nor do I believe that's where they're going. That said, at this point, I have no clue where any of this is going, and that's a good thing. It's so much more exciting than Reigns or Rollins winning the championship and feuding with one another again. The next hit is the opening segment with the four-way participants, a good way to showcase the main event, the new championship, and the personalities involved. The video packages for each wrestler that played throughout the show were also helpful in that regard. The next hit is Chris Jericho against Neville, a good opening match with Neville showing incredible athleticism. In an era where we see so many high spots in pro wrestling, Neville still manages to stand out with his seemingly effortless execution of his acrobatic moveset. Meanwhile, Chris Jericho is doing a terrific job as the snobby heel, and he just strikes me as a guy who's having a blast playing his character. Of course, I'm also curious to see how the Jericho character reacts now that his friend Kevin Owens won that championship. Jericho predicted that Owens would win, but will Jericho's character's ego be able to handle it now that Kevin Owens actually did? The final hit is Sheamus against Cesaro. The big spot at the end of the match was Sheamus backdropping Cesaro into the side of the new ring post was creative. The heel jumping out to the 2-0 advantage is pretty standard in best of sevens, but I'm still engaged in the series. I also like Cesaro venting on the pre-show about not being included in the qualifying matches last week. Cesaro continues to vent about his character being wronged, and it will be interesting to see where that goes. Now we are into the WWE Raw Misses section, and the first one, Stephanie McMahon and Paul Heyman. I love the idea of Stephanie finding Brock Lesnar just $500 for his SummerSlam antics. I was hopeful that she was going to take it a step further by collecting the fine money from Heyman, only to hand it back to him after announcing that she was giving Lesnar a $500 bonus for having the best match at SummerSlam. Instead of having Stephanie be openly anti-Shane McMahon, they went with some weird combination of Stephanie's rah-rah women's revolution speech, Heyman getting cocky, Stephanie flexing her muscle with Heyman, and Heyman apparently talking his way out of any punishment and then acting like he outsmarted Stephanie as he flashed a sly smile afterward. When it was all said and done, I had no idea what I was supposed to feel about the segment, and not in a good thought-provoking way, but rather in a what-in-the-hell-was-that way. The next miss is Bayley and New Day against Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, and Dana Brooke. The latest Anderson and Gallows promo skit did nothing for me, but at least they're done telling nut jokes. Why can't these guys just be a badass heel tag team? I actually like the idea of Dana Brooke being added to spice up their act, but it seemed like this was more of a one-off since she's still aligned with Charlotte. The most concerning aspect was the way Bailey was positioned. It was cool to see her act awestruck by New Day backstage because that's true to her fangirl character. Unfortunately, it seemed to stop there as Bailey acted way too confident in her second match on the main roster for my taste. I don't expect WWE to hit the reset button and start over with her NXT character, but I hope they would incorporate some of the shyness and lovable lack of confidence that helped her connect with fans in the first place. Yes, her character developed confidence in NXT, but it's perfectly logical for her character to be a bit overwhelmed now that she's on the main roster and surrounded by her heroes. The next miss is Braun Strowman against Americo. I've officially reached the point of boredom with Strowman's weekly squash wins. Part of the problem is that we're seeing the same formula with Nia Jax, complete with the enhancement wrestler being interviewed beforehand. I've found it more effective with Jax than Strowman thus far, though perhaps that's because I have higher hopes for Jax and her division than I do for Strowman and his. The next miss is Sami Zayn against Jinder Mahal, and it's a minor miss for what I felt was a missed opportunity. It's good to see Zayn continuing to sell the ankle injury from last week, but they had a chance to play it up more by having him work a more competitive match with someone a little bit higher on the food chain. Instead, I never had a doubt that Sami was going to win this match over Mahal, who didn't even get a televised entrance. And the final miss, a quick one, Titus O'Neil against Darren Young. All I have to say about this: the flattest program in all of WWE continues to waste time on Raw. Before we get into the Raw bonus thoughts, I want to give you a heads up that .NET members are listening to my 50-minute full-on audio review of WWE Raw, my full-length audio review of last night's Raw, and my 60-minute Q&A audio show from Monday. Join us on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net and enjoy all of the audio content that we do, not just what we have available on the all-access side. You can find out all the details on the main page of ProWrestling.net. Just go right into the sign-up area, and you'll see three different pricing options. We would love to have you on board, and thanks to everyone who took advantage of our recent sale and jumped on board. But the sale is complete, but still, with all this fun Kevin Owens stuff and everything going on in the crazy world of pro wrestling, it's always a good time to sign up for ProWrestling.net membership. All right, those bonus thoughts that I've been talking about. I'll start with the one that I said I wish we could see happen. I wish Kevin Owens could appear on SmackDown Live tonight. And I know I'm the guy going, I want them to stay true to the brand split. Here's why. I'd like to see him appear so that he could count down to the exact moment when he becomes the longest reigning WWE Universal Champion in history, eclipsing the legendary one-day reign of Finn Balor. Doesn't that just seem like, you know, something quirky and fun that would be true to his heel character, that he would take complete delight in this and just act like it's this major achievement when the previous champion didn't even make it 24 hours? I don't think we're going to get it, but I think it would be fun. I also want to say that I hope WWE doesn't give away too much on the Labor Day edition of Raw. That's coming up on Monday, for those of you who don't live in the States. I want them to save something, or at least, you know, give us a good show on Labor Day, but build up to something that following Monday night, because that is when Monday Night Football returns. And WWE has kind of rolled over and died against the annual ESPN Monday Night Football doubleheader that opens the season. I'd like to see them, like, do their best to give fans, like, some incentive to actually watch Raw that night. I'm not saying you need to give everything away, but how about, like, building up to the first Kevin Owens title defense for that Monday night? And with him being a vulnerable champion, I do think there are a lot of fans. Like, if you're a wrestling fan, but on that night you would watch football, I think you'd be more likely to kind of at least flip channels to keep an eye, or, you know, maybe even watch that full match, depending on what's going on in the game. So just things like that, I would like to see WWE just, like I say, make some effort and not just give you a phoned-in, lazy three-hour show where they're just trying to fill time and basically just bending over and taking it from Monday Night Football. I got some conflicting viewpoints for my take on Bailey that I mentioned in the Raw hit list. Some people chiming in via Twitter. Now, some of them, basically, it's like, I wish you would have actually read the hit list because I covered a lot of what you're saying. But now, the consensus of people who disagree seem to be that enough people know her from NXT, so it's logical that her character is as confident as she is. And, you know, I was actually happy to see Will Pruitt chime in his new Pause review on Raw. We didn't discuss last night's Raw at all. I have no idea if he even read the hit list. Maybe he did. I don't know. But he kind of came to a similar conclusion as me. Now, he also said that he liked the way that she was kind of awestruck by New Day, as I mentioned. And then he added, "My one concern with week two of Bayley on the main roster is WWE giving her too many wins too soon. Bayley's character works best when there's something to overcome, and if she continues to win, she may not have enough to overcome." So Will and I are not saying the exact same thing, but you can see that our concerns are at least similar. And me feeling like Bayley would be better off kind of redeveloping some of that lack of confidence that made her so likable, and you want to see her slowly build up that confidence. And again, I'm not saying you need to hit reset here. Too much time has passed. There are too many people who have seen that. But I really think that if you can build up some of that insecurity that made her so likable, go for it. And I think there's a built-in storyline reason, as I've touched on, in that you basically, she was in her comfort zone in NXT. Now she's working on the main roster. And if they establish that, she, in so many words, that she's a fangirl. You know, she grew up a huge fan of WWE, and she's just kind of taken aback by being surrounded by so many of the people that she's looked up to and all of that. I think there's an easy way to show that she's a little bit bad, you know, just a little bit shy and still be true. You're not... It's just such a good explanation that now that she's on the main roster, some of that is creeping back in. And I think that's all the explanation NXT fans need. I think NXT, you know, fans who grew up, or not grew up, but fans who watched Bayley's character grow up on the NXT show would accept that. And I think if you're someone going, well, hey, but we want to see the evolution. We saw it in NXT. We're ready for this just to keep moving forward. Stop making it just about you. Think about her and how she is most likely to get over. Now, I think she's doing fine. I do. I mean, the crowds are receptive to her. I think she's going to do fine either way. But I think there's more upside. And if you can get Bayley to kind of conjure up those same feelings that so many people had for this character as she started to progress, all the fans, not just the NXT followers, but all the fans who just maybe they only watch the main roster shows. I think that the more you can kind of... again, not hit reset, but just push it back a little bit. And with that logical explanation, I don't see what harm can come from that. I think only good can come from it, and that people are going to see those endearing qualities that she has and take to the Bayley character if they've never seen it before. Whereas if you just introduce her as this girl coming out with that look and being a bit awestruck, but also being super confident and everything, she's not that much different than anyone else. She just happens to have a little bit of a different look and a ponytail. So I think it's an easy solution. And I think she is just a great underdog. And I want that to be the role she plays on the main roster to start with. The other idea throughout in the Q&A audio show is that when she gets her title match with Charlotte, have Nia Jax be the one to destroy her. And I know, NXT fans, you saw her. You saw Bayley beat Nia Jax in NXT. Yeah. Reset time. Nia Jax takes out Bayley, not puts her on the shelf, but prevents her from winning, beats her up, and then actually beats Bayley. And so Bayley has something to overcome, as Will is talking about, and it serves Nia well, because you're not going to introduce Nia Jax. I mean, she's winning all these squash matches, but when it's time for her to have her first program in WWE, I don't think it makes any sense for her to lose that first program. And so I think there's a way to establish that, make her kind of a long-term milestone win for Bayley. Not right out of the gate, though. Let Nia look dominant over Bayley to begin with. And then, you know, I really feel like mission accomplished. Bayley's in a little bit of a fangirl, a little bit shy, a little has something to overcome, and she's kind of on that road to greatness on the main roster we saw her take on that journey at the NXT level. So I'd really like to see that. Hey, finally today, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Take a moment, rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows those type of reviews. It's always appreciated when you take a moment to just spread the word about ProWrestling.net and the podcast. Anyone who takes the moment to give a quick retweet when I put out the link to the show, a big thank you for that. You can always follow me at ProWrestlingNet, and that way you'll know when the new All Access Daily podcast is available. I will be back, I may be back tomorrow on Wednesday. I'm not quite sure of the schedule yet, but at some rate, somehow, some way, obviously, you're going to be getting the All Access Daily podcast. So until next time, thank you for listening and take care.